Buddy, and I did say good, because at 11:15 yesterday morning on the way back here from Illinois, my son called and he said, "Dad, I'm getting ready to pull out of the field with the planter. It's all folded up, and we're done." Yay. Yeah, that's about all I could do it. You know, when you get up at 3:30 and 4 in the morning, run till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, you get tired after you do that for about 8 or 9 days. And when you're 75 years old, it isn't fun after a while. So it's taken me a while to get over that. But what would happen to you if you went in the grocery store and saw absolutely total empty shelves? You know how many farmers produce your food in this country? Less than 1% now. So everything you eat begins in the ground, and I'm glad to be part of that. But do we eat the right spiritual food? No. Most denominations, most churches don't preach the right spiritual food. And that's what we want to look at this morning and see what the end result is as to what God is doing for us today. And we've come to a place in Illinois. If you want to see corrupt politics, just come to the state of Illinois. Don't stay, because they're going to run you out. Because you want to know why you can't post the Ten Commandments in the courthouse anymore? It creates a hostile work environment. And that's true. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get down to the business of what we're here for. Heavenly Father, we certainly thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we would have no hope without him. We would have no future. And as we've talked with many people during our life, we realize where they are today. We realize where they could have been. And we thank you for where we are going to be. But because of your grace and your kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, we have that eternal hope. And we pray that we can make these scriptures as clear and plain as possible. For we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. You know, after you farm several years and you begin to realize all the little details that's in there as to how you produce your crop, then you get into studying the Word of God and you see the same thing there. You want to look at all the little details about these things. And there are certain things that you do. You know, and I've told some of you this before, if you plant your corn in that furrow with the point of that grain going with that furrow, the leaves will always grow out. If you turn it crossways, they grow and shade each other out. It cuts your yield. It cuts your yield tremendously. And we've learned a lot of things. And recently, I'd say in the last 5 years, I've probably learned as more about agronomy and agriculture as I've learned in the past 20, or the prior 20. Because we finally have learned, and I got a hold of a book, and I think the guy that wrote it, one of them was saved, because he explained to us in there what it meant for Adam to dress and keep the garden. Have you ever wondered about that, what it was? Why did God put him and told him to dress and keep the garden? Well, I don't have time to tell you all those details this morning, but he had a responsibility. There's a responsibility that we have today as we are learning from the scriptures. As you're here this week, this weekend, you're learning things and details about these scriptures that you didn't know before. And you're going to use that as God has a purpose for us in eternity. And it took me a long time to come to understand what it was, and I wanted to figure out where we were and where we was going. Because in Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Did he create them just bang bang? Turn to Job chapter 38 and verses 4 through 7. Job chapter 38. And my Bible is about shot. It's about like me. So I have to be very careful with some of the pages. And But we find some answers to that. A lot of the details about the creation of the entire universe and all the things that God has done is not found in Genesis. You'll find it more details in other books, and Job's one of them, Psalms and Isaiah and so forth. You find more details in there than you will in Genesis. Genesis gives you the outline. Now let's study and find the whole thing. Well, God is talking to Job here in verse 4 of Genesis or Job chapter 38. And we want to see what it was that he did. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. You know, you have carpenter language in here. Where's the foundation? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? You measure off everything before you build a building, don't you? Or who has stretched the line upon it? What do you use a line for? When you lay concrete blocks or pour concrete and so forth, the carpenter lays that all out. He knows exactly what he's doing, I hope. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Where's the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, if the earth was in creation at that time, being created, and they sang and shouted for joy, they had to already be there, didn't they? And are they heavenly creatures? Yeah. Turn to Psalms chapter 33. Why did God make or create the angels, and how did he do it? Well, those angels already had to be there. Well, first of all, let's find out how they came into being. Psalms 33, verse 6. There was a purpose for those angels. There's a purpose for everything God does. He has an eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. We're part of it. What is that eternal purpose? If somebody asked you, tell me exactly what that eternal purpose is in Christ Jesus for me, what would you tell them? Well, in verse 6 in Psalms 33, it says, by the word of the God were the heavens made. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Don't forget that verse. And all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So he spoke them into creation, didn't he? He spoke those angels into being. He spoke the heavens. And notice what that says. By the word of the Lord were the heavens. That's an S on the end. That's plural. So there's more than one. And you pay attention to the details. Look at those words like that. Because if you want to get confused, mixed up, or totally lost, just don't pay attention to the details. And that's exactly what happens to a corn planter out there. You know, we use those planters. And I don't know whether you've seen these little round receivers on top of the cabs of tractors. They run off a GPS. They collect GPS signals. And you program your computer in there. And Pete told us about that last night. Pete, I know how to fix them things. Just get a bigger hammer.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're kind of expensive when you have to replace them. There's three of them takes the operator combine. We had to replace one of them last. We took the head off. It's a 40-foot head, so you can't go down the road with it. You pull it lengthways down the road, and that feeder house wouldn't raise up or down, and we got ready to put that thing on for nobody's. And it just wouldn't work. $1,300 later, it worked. But what is it that God wants us to do with the things he's given us, with the knowledge in the scriptures? How is it that we're supposed to do these things? And with these GPS signals we get from the tractors, we program that thing, and you run your AB line, and then you push a button, and that tractor drives itself across the field. And for the first time, some of my neighbors had some straight rows. That always seemed to be a contest, and I don't know how's come. Dad could always drive straight, and so could I. And I could have him straight. You're worn out at the end of the day, but you had straight rows. But we see in Psalms 19, let's get back to the Word of God. Forget that GPS stuff, but just get your hammer out and take care of that. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 4. What was the purpose for God putting those angels when he spoke them into being in the heavens in the first place? What was that purpose? Well, in Psalms 19, verses 1 through 4, we find out. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens, look at that S on the end, declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech. The heavens utter speech. And night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth and the words to the end of the world. What's a line of speech? What do you call something's written out in a line of speech? A sentence. Well, if that's true, where was God's word written? It says, their line is going throughout all the earth and their words to the end of the world. What's that? Where does that? What was that? It was God's word. And where did they see that? They looked up and they could read it every night. And people have claimed that, well, the word of God was passed on from generation to generation by word of mouth in Genesis 1:1 to Genesis chapter 9, 10, whatever, to 12. That's not true. They looked up every night and they could read it. They could read what God was doing. That was his purpose. That's why the angels were placed in the heavens. But what happened to them? Turn to Isaiah 14 if you don't know that passage already. Isaiah chapter 14. There was a leader of that bunch. And by the way, if you've heard Brother Jordan speak about the world and the earth, and we saw that in that the two words in that same verse there. The earth is a planet. We know what that is. But what's the world? Is that also the planet? Just another word. That's one of the words that Satan has messed up for us. That's our government systems. And there was a government system before the earth was created. Look in Job chapter 14 and begin with, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. You're already there. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou fallen down, cut down to the ground, which is weakened the nations? He's cut down to the ground. That's what we call soil. Some people call it dirt. Dirt's what you sweep out of your house. You don't want it in there. It's got lint and everything else in it. But soil is what we produce the food with. And it weakened the nation when he was cut down there. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You got the stars of God again. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. For 30 years I looked at that passage and tried to figure out what it meant. What does he mean, the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north? That's north. What does he mean by that? Well, to make a long story short, it's the great white throne. He wanted to be over that. And the wrong would be right. And the right would be wrong. If he had had his way. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But I am so thankful for verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Turn to Ezekiel 28. And you know this one too. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 also. What else did he say? Now in Ezekiel, you've got a phrase it calls son of man. It's always son of man, not with the son of man in front of it. And it's mentioned exactly 100 times, and it always refers to Ezekiel himself, son of man. But when you see the son of man, it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ every time. And in Ezekiel, son of man is referred to exactly 100 times. So he says, Ezekiel, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. If there was ever a Weisenheimer, this guy was it. That's not all either. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. You think Elvis Presley was something when he walked on the stage with all of that glitter and stuff. This guy would make Elvis Presley look like he belonged in the gutter. He says, every precious stone was thy covering. Now, there's 10 different stones there and minerals. And one of the fellows in our church looked them up one time. You know what colors they are? Same as the rainbow, every one of them. And it's the seven colors of the rainbow. And you go from one color to the other, and it just matches perfect, doesn't it? Have you ever seen a real bright colored rainbow? And see a triple rainbow? I've seen a few of them. I've lived long enough to see a few. But the first one would be real bright. But the colors do never clash, and there's always seven colors there. That's exactly what he was. And he says, not only that, he says he had the workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He was created also. What's the tablets and his pipes? The tablets have to do with the percussion instruments. I played in a marching band in high school, and I played the drums. And you could foul that whole bunch up just messing up that thing. Did you ever try it? I won't tell you what happens. What's the pipes? The melody instruments. How do you get music? You got to have a melody. So he was in charge of the beat and the melody. Who's find in Scripture where that's ever been taken away from him? Can you find it? Who's in charge of the music today then? He still is. What kind of racket do you hear? I'd rather hear my tractor run as that, and it's noisy. Amen, amen. Now, what's all that got to do with us as the elect of God in the age of grace? We're in Genesis chapter 1, and now we're over here in the age of grace. We've gone all down through here, and we've seen some of these things that happened in the stars, in the heavens. We've seen what God has created. What's that got to do with us? Everything. Turn now to Ephesians. Let's get down to business here. Ephesians chapter 3, and if you don't know this passage, I'd suggest that you memorize it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. You've heard us speak of this many times, and we're going to look at it one more. It's not going to hurt you, I'll guarantee you. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Now, Ephesians is a very difficult place to break into because the sentences are very long. But we're going to do that. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, there is the government system. Now, that government system began before man was created because Lucifer was in charge of all those angels. And to which hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Anybody know what a manifold is on an engine? It's where all the exhaust, what happens if you put headers on there? That's what's on them cars that run the 500. That's this weekend, isn't it? Yeah. No wonder Indianapolis was such a mess to get around. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. All the wisdom of God is brought together by the body of Christ, and that's you and me. For what purpose? What's the purpose? What's the eternal purpose? Look at that next verse. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to that eternal purpose, he has drawn all this wisdom together in the members of the body of Christ to fulfill that eternal purpose. Well, what is that eternal purpose? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter. Well, let's not turn there. You know it. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever studied the word of God to the point that it was work? It needs to be. It needs to be. And there's a way he tells us to study for a purpose. Well, what's that purpose? That's the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. For us. But what is it that he wants us to have as we study? Rightly dividing, in other words, cut that thing straight. And it's not from the New and the Old Testament. And you know where the line is. You draw it in Paul's epistles. What does Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 say? Now, if you're studying the Word of God, remember those angels and what they were doing. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Now, I know these sentences are long, and we're going to stop before we get to the end of the sentence, but I want you to see something here. Wherefore, in Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God has an inheritance in us. You look at yourself in the mirror in the morning. Oh, man. Where'd that thing come from? What hole in the ground did he crawl out of? God wants you. As ugly as we are, he still wants us. For what purpose? Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Why does he say it again to the Colossians in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10? Why does he say this? And by the way, if you figure that out mathematically, what he says in Ephesians comes down about the same position in Colossians, verses 9 and 10, chapter 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I was talking to somebody a while ago here about these conferences. And some people used to call them conference junkies. They love to go to the conferences. But how much more do you learn going to these conferences? A lot. Paul prayed for those people that they might have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of what God's purpose for us is as members of the body of Christ. He prayed that they might have that. He prayed to God that they would receive that. Why? Why? 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is an important verse. And this comes in 2 Corinthians. And amazingly, you ought to see some things that comes in 1 Corinthians. Because every letter that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write was inspired of all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So who inspired Paul to write that? God did. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's this body, and it's going to be someday, it's going to go back to the dust from which it came. If it's dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands. Not made with hands. Are you paying attention to the details? You want to look at them. You want to look at every little detail there. So we have a house of God not made with hands, eternal where? In heaven? It's got an S on the end of it. Pay attention to the details. Heavens. Who else was in the heavens? Who we've already looked at. Those angels. For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from where?
Heaven.
Heaven, right. No S on there, is there? So we're going to be in the heavens with a body from the heaven. Is that the end of it? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just back a few pages. And I have to be very careful with my Bible, or I'll be holding one of them out here like that. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. How fast? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. Hang on to the Corinthian passage there. What did I say? 1 Thessalonians 4. Where am I going? Now remember that we have a new body in the heavens made from heaven. Now look in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now notice this, that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Why is it so important that you believe that he died and rose again? What's going to happen to us after we die? Same thing. Now we'll look at the next verse. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and so forth. How's that body going to be made?
Without hands.
Without hands, with a shout. How was those angels placed into creation in the first place?
By the word of mouth.
It's the word of God. How are we going to be placed into our eternal position? The same identical way. And you've got the scriptures, you've been reading them. Have you ever put it together? Look at the details, folks. Romans 16, verse 25, a verse that is very familiar. Romans 16, verse 25. And we see something here. That we should have seen a long time ago, or that I should have seen a long time. Now to him that has power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now to him that is of power to establish you. What does establish mean?
Stable.
It's stabilize you to make a permanent position that nothing is going to shake you. Establish. That's the end result of establish. You're being established because you're going to be eventually established and nothing's going to shake you. Now, to him that is of power to do that, compare that with 1:11 of Romans. Romans 1:11. I don't know who came up with this idea of these bookmarks for the summer conference, but that's one of the greatest ideas I've ever seen. Because I got one from every year from that, and I use all 11 of them. But some of them are worn out. Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. So in the process, he's saying, I want to give you enough spiritual food that you can be established, and over here you're standing and you're not going to be moved. Why? You remember we saw that God has an eternal purpose in us and an inheritance in us? Something's missing then. Something's missing in his original plan. He had a program, but he didn't reveal it. Let's do some more comparison. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I told you to hang on to Corinthians and I didn't do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Corinthians. I don't turn near as fast as I used to because the pages won't stay together. And I hate to give this one up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 and 2. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath appointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So, can you find in all of Scripture, all of the things outside of this building or anywhere else, something that can establish you to the point that you can't be moved? He's going to establish you in Christ. He was the creator. He was the personal creator. Now, who's going to move you from him? Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. His eternal purpose. Compare that with 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. to the end. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You start thinking about some of these things. And what about the people that are preaching a kingdom message right now? Oh, you got to repent. You just got to get down on your knees and beg God for forgiveness for your sin. Your sins was taken care of at the cross. Why do I have to beg for forgiveness again? It's already been taken care of, hasn't it? Do I believe that? Those of you here will. But what about outside of here? Not very many. Why has this dispensation gone on and on and on and on? There's a number in the body of Christ. I don't know what that number is. You don't either. But every day, Satan knows we're getting closer and closer and closer to that fulfillment. Turn back to Colossians again. Hang on to 1 Thessalonians there. Look in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. It'd help if I'd get the right book, the right page. Verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. See, are you beginning to understand why it's important that we walk in Christ? Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Don't move. Come back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and the first three verses. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. How many people did Paul go about establishing them so that they might be established? All of them he talked to. That's what he wanted. Look at the next verse. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. On the road to Damascus, God met with the Apostle Paul, didn't he? God went on to Damascus and he found a man there by the name of Ananias. And he said, I'm going to show that man how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. How many people have suffered worse than the Apostle Paul? How many of you have been beaten 5 times for preaching the gospel? How many have been shipwrecked for going from one place to another to preach the gospel? And on and on. How many people swore up and down that they wasn't going to eat or drink until they killed him? Anybody do that with you? Stop and think about, besides all that, the churches was laid on him, the care of all the churches. He was the first man to proclaim this message. Think about that for a minute. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 22. Let's start with verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind. If you go back to Genesis. Go back to Romans chapter 1 and in your mind and see how the Gentiles did not want to keep God so much as in their mind. We're going right back to the same thing in this country now. They don't want God in their mind. I was talking to somebody here this morning about a dear friend of theirs. Doesn't even want to hear the gospel, and he knows before long he's going to die. I had a buddy. I helped him get started farming. I turned down 1,000 acres 1 year and helped him get it. And he got started farming. I even offered to sign his note for him if they needed somebody to sign his note. Didn't need to. But he would not listen to anything out of the scriptures. Church was a place for socialism. And he died 2 years ago. And I went there 2 weeks before Kenny died. He still wouldn't listen. He had cancer of the liver. There is no hope when you have that. And he still would not listen. I know where he's at today. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind, what was he? By wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. And those last three words, in his sight, not mine, not my neighbor's, but in God's. What more can you ask for? What is your purpose as a member of the body of Christ? Look at verse 28. Whom we preached, he's talking about Jesus Christ there in verse 27, whom we preached, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We're presented perfect in Christ Jesus. That thing you see in the mirror of a morning is perfect. Boy. Oh, you wonderful thing. When you get your face put on. Why are there so many angels missing today in the heavens? In the Revelation, and don't have time to turn to all these verses. In the Revelation, it says a third part of them fell from heaven. Now, I have not decided, maybe you guys can tell me, is that a third part of that's left to fall, or is it a third part of the whole group? If it's a third part of a bunch of them fell, they gave up their own habitation, they left their habitation, and so forth, there in Jude, verse 6. And they came to this earth. They didn't belong down here. Well, if you take a third of them out, take every third word out of the scriptures and see how much sense it makes. Can you look up to the stars at night and read the Word of God up there? Okay, what's Satan done? He's messed up the Word in the heavens. God had Moses to write it down so that he could put it in a book to give it to whom? Joshua. And all the others. It was put in a book. And as these others came along, he had it written in a book. It's called the Word of God. And in English speaking circles, that's the King James Version. What's he doing today? He's got perversion after perversion after perversion. He's messing up the written Word of God. What's God going to do with us? We know where we're going. We're going to the heavens. Now, we also know that Paul talks about the heavenly places. He never talks about just the heavens. Are there angels in the heaven? Yeah. But if he talks about heavenly places, some could be in the heavens, and some could be in heaven. And he's still right, isn't he? So where is our eternal hope? And what is our eternal purpose and the glory of God? His word. And we are going to present that word to all of creation. Just like it was in God's program and his plan back here. And we're part of that. Can you tell me why Satan hates us today in the age of grace? If you can't, you've had some deaf ears this morning. I've got about 1 minute left. Ed said that down at Ridge Farm we have a Bible conference the weekend after Labor Day in September. We'll have it again this year. I think that's about the longest run by 1 year. The longest running Brother Jordan has been constantly involved with a Bible conference. So he'll be there September
9 to 11.
Yeah, I can't keep up with all these dates anymore, especially in a leap year. So here we are in a election year. We are the elect of God, and that's what we're talking about here this morning. And we hope that you have gained something from our study this morning. And I know what it is to have your time taken away. And I've got some more things to say, would like to say, but my time's up and I'm not going to take it away from the next guy. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the eternal things that you have for us. And we want to give you all honor and glory, because without you, we'd have nothing. In our Savior's name, amen.